Welcome to the ABCs of the Bible, a radio ministry dedicated to bringing you the Word of God. God promises that when His Word goes forth, it won't come back void, but will accomplish that which He pleases.
Greetings, friends, and welcome back to the final stages of Job's court case against God. After Elihu, God's defense attorney, rests his case, God takes the witness stand. Job had asked to speak to God face to face, so now Job is going to get exactly what he asked for. As we'll see, it was much more than he bargained for. Let's turn over to Job chapter 38 and we'll read verses 1 through 3. This is Job chapter 38 and verses 1 through 3. Yahweh answered Job out of the tempest and said, "Who is this that darkens counsel by words without knowledge? Now gird up your loins like a man, for I will ask of you questions, and you teach me." Job, you're about to get a beat down. Please allow me a little liberty in paraphrasing what God is saying to Job. "Boy, oh boy, how dare you come into my house and accuse me of wrongdoing? You have no idea what you're talking about, and you have no idea who you're dealing with. You're still in diapers, little boy. Go put on some clothes befitting a real man. When you come back, I've got some questions for you, and you better have some mighty good answers with all that smack you've been talking." So that's a paraphrase of what God was saying in Job chapter 38, verses 1 through 3, and I'm going to read that one more time. Yahweh answered Job out of the tempest and said, "Who is this that darkens counsel by words without knowledge? Now gird up your loins like a man, for I will ask of you questions, and you teach me." It's like, man, Job is about to get a beat down. Now, of course, Job's Heavenly Father and our Heavenly Father talks to us in love. So there's no doubt that Job's Heavenly Father, God Almighty, is doing this in love. No question about that. But can't you just see in this scenario a young teenage boy getting smart with his dad and the dad jumping up out of his seat and saying, "Boy, I brought you into this world and I can sure enough take you out of it. Now sit down and shut up. I'll do the talking from now on." That's the sense that I get here, because Job was foolish enough to justify himself rather than God. Job was foolish enough to demand his day in court. And so God gave it to him. And so what does our Heavenly Father say to Job to humble him? Well, we're going to read about this starting in Job chapter 38. First of all, God talks about the creation of the earth. And we can find this in verses 4 through 7 and then also verse 18, where it says, "Where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? Tell if you have understanding. Who has set its measurements? For you seem to know everything. Or who has stretched the line on it? On what are its bases sunk? Or who cast its cornerstone when the morning stars sang together and all the sons of God shouted for joy? Have you understood the breadth of the earth? Tell me if you know it all." So then God talks about the boundaries of the oceans and the seas. And obviously Job didn't have any answer for that. I mean, you can take a master builder, all of the master builders, the greatest builders that there ever were the people that built the pyramids in Egypt. And we have gone there to see the pyramids of Giza, the greatest edifices ever built by humankind. None of those people could understand how God actually fastened the cornerstone of the earth and hung it in the sky without any strings. Nobody can understand that. Of course, Job cannot understand that. But God continues, and he talks about the boundaries of the oceans and the seas. This is in verses 8 through 11, and then also verse 16. "Or who shut up the sea with doors when it broke forth as it came from the womb? When I made the clouds its robe and darkness its navel band, and set my limit on it, and set bars and doors, and said, 'You shall come up to here, but no further, and your proud waves shall stop.' Have you gone to the springs of the sea, or have you walked in search of the depths?" So think about this. None of us can be out there at the ocean's edge, say we're standing on the Atlantic Ocean, or right on the shores of New Jersey, as the Atlantic Ocean laps up on the shores and covers our feet. None of us can say to that water, stop 200 feet away from me, and expect the water to stop. But God did that. God said, this is your boundary, and you shall come no further. As high as your waves are, you cannot breach the walls that I have set up. So God put the limit on it. We can't do that. How many of us have ever gone to the springs of the sea and can tell where water gushes up from someplace? Yeah, we can see out there at Old Faithful in Yellowstone Park. Yeah, we know where it is, but we can't tell how that geyser is forming. We can't tell its source. We can't go all the way down into the deep and detect it. And yeah, we do have submarines, but nobody has been to the bottom of the ocean. So none of us have walked in search of the depths. But God can do that, obviously. God created the oceans. So God can go all the way down to the bottom of the ocean without a submarine. He won't drown. He won't get crushed. He'll be able to see everything. After all, God made all of the creatures in there that can dwell at the bottom of the oceans, that do live without any light, that do live around these springs that come forth, and it's so hot that it's like molten lava. God can be down there and not be affected at all, but not a single human being can. So we are nothing compared to God. God is now talking about the separation of the morning from the night. This is in verses 12 through 15, and then also in verses 19 through 21. Have you commanded the morning from your days, and caused the dawn to know its place, that it may take hold of the ends of the earth, that the wicked might be shaken out of it? And what God is talking about here is when the light comes up, wickedness tends to stop. Although now people are crazy enough to commit crimes in broad daylight, but generally crimes happen at night under the cover of darkness. So that's what he's talking about when he says that the light takes hold of the ends of the earth and that the wicked people are shaken out of it, because they tend to disperse and go into their dens and sleep during the day so they can do their wickedness at night. But who can command the sun to rise to bring light, and then the sun to go down to bring darkness? We can't do that. Verse 14 says, it is turned like clay under a seal, and they stand forth like a garment. And from the wicked their light is withheld, and the high arm shall be broken. Where is the way where light dwells? And where is the place of darkness, that you should take it to its boundary, and that you should know the pass to its house? You know, because you were born then, right? God is being very sarcastic. You know, right? You were born then, right? Job, you think you're all that in a bag of chips? No, Job, you're nothing, because you weren't there. You don't know. And the number of your days, Job, you think is so great that you were there at the beginning? No, of course. No human being has lived 1,000 years or more. God has lived 1,000,000,000 years and more. God has lived for eternity. So again, we can't touch God in that way. And then God talks about having power over life and death. He says this in verse 17. Have the gates of death been opened to you? Do you understand what it's about when a person dies? Do you know what happens to them at death? Or have you seen the gates of the shadow of death? In other words, Job, can you bring a person to life? No, nobody can do that. Do we understand exactly what happens at death? No, we don't understand that. 1 second, a person might be talking, they have breath, they have life, they have their consciousness, their thoughts, they're laughing, talking, and the next second, they get shot, and then they're dead. What happens to a person? What happens to their thoughts? Where do they go? What happens, Job? Do you know? No, of course Job didn't know, and none of us know. All of our scientific advancements and discovery have not opened to us the gates of death, the gates of life. We don't understand life, how it comes into being, and how we get our intelligence, what makes us distinctly human. Yeah, we can see the cells, but there's a spirit in man that God talks about. We don't understand that stuff, and neither does Job. So God humbles Job by talking about how great God is and asking him questions that Job has no answer to whatsoever. He doesn't even have the slightest hint of any answers. And I don't know if you've noticed this, but God is using the same line of reasoning that Elihu did, because Elihu extolled the attributes of God in order to humble Job. And now God is following that same line of reasoning that Elihu did by first extolling the attributes, the greatness of God, the majesty of God, in order to humble Job. And in the mouth of two or three witnesses, a matter is established, right? Well, we have it in the mouth of two witnesses here that God is much greater than man. And so that's how God begins to humble Job, which already he had been humbled because of Elihu's defense of God by extolling God's attributes. But this is just giving Job, if you will, a further beatdown to humble him. And Job is humbled, as we'll see in the next program. But thank you for joining me on this program, and may God be in you. Before you go, please let me make a special announcement. Currently, we meet every Saturday in various people's homes. We plan to continue that most of the time. But since we are also planning to expand our ministry, we are looking for a, quote, permanent place, unquote, to meet so that we can be of greater service to the community. For instance, we would like to invite more people to Bible studies. We would like to conduct our free seminars more frequently. We would like to distribute food to the hungry, collect clothes and school supplies for the Tumaini Community Orphan School that we support in Kenya, Africa, and on and on. So if you have an available facility or know of an available facility, such as a church, a school, or a storefront, that can accommodate about 50 people for a couple of hours on a Saturday, then please call Glenn Williams at 404-412-0032, or you can send him an email at information@christianambassadors.org. Again, the phone number is 404-412-0032, and the email address is information@christianambassadors.org. Your service will be greatly appreciated, and we thank you in advance in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ.
If you would like to contact us or order free literature, please visit our website at www.christianambassadors.org. That's www.christianambassadors.org, or call us on 404-412-0032. That's 404-412-0032. Thanks for listening. May God be in you.